Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Let's go around the NFL to keep you in the loop. Brought to you by BioCleanTex.com on Sports Radio 610.
Five biggest questions of the offseason as veterans are on the field around the NFL, most of them, in the division center around the most important position. Three of those five questions right here in Houston. Let's start with number one.
Numero uno.
When is a Deshaun Watson settlement going to happen? That is going to be the first step in the process of the relationship between the Texans and Deshaun Watson most likely ending, but even possibly being repaired. The settlement, that is the most in front question right now during the offseason. When is this settlement going to happen?
It is, and I really feel like David Culley kind of tipped their hand a little bit about when. Not just that it's going to happen. I think we all agree that it's going to happen. But about when he was talking about, I'm not going to talk about that. I have nothing to say about that. I think they're just tired already, and it'll happen sooner rather than later, certainly before the season.
Numero dos.
When is the suspension going to happen, or is it going to happen? The NFL is conducting their investigation. Once the settlement occurs and there's no criminal charges, question number two in the AFC South. Once again, Deshaun Watson centered. There will be a theme. I sense a theme here.
Yeah.
What is the NFL going to decide, and what is the NFL suspension going to be?
Well, it has to be after a settlement. So that's a great question. I mean, is that settlement imminent as we thought it might be? And then both attorneys sort of start kind of pulling away from that because they're trying to get more leverage. Definitely after the settlement is when the NFL suspension will happen.
And that's the order, obviously. The settlement, then the suspension, and then question number three. And this has been the biggest question as a whole. It's kind of taken a back seat and become question number three instead of question number one. But question number three,
numero tres,
will be, what about a trade? Where will Deshaun Watson be traded? Will a trade happen? That is question number three when it comes to the AFC South.
Well, a trade is going to happen. I think it's going to happen before the season. The where has actually gotten much more complicated. You know, you keep talking about Las Vegas, and you've convinced me. I think they're potentially a real player here. Certainly other teams that didn't draft a quarterback, or even some that did, that might have some, you know, some hesitance about it. But I still say Miami and Philadelphia are the biggest in play.
Numero cuatro.
Urban Meyer and Trevor Lawrence. What is Trevor Lawrence going to be? Is he going to be Justin Herbert this season? Is he going to struggle? A lot of times you see successful quarterbacks in college come to the NFL, they struggle. We've seen a lot of guys recently thrive. He's got a first-year head coach at the NFL level in Urban Meyer. What is Trevor Lawrence going to be? I find it interesting that John McClain is just so convinced that the Texans are going to beat the Jaguars. My question would be, based on what? Maybe I'm too high on the Jaguars. I've been accused of that. I think Trevor Lawrence is going to have a very successful NFL season. I think it's going to be similar to what we saw from Justin Herbert. I don't think the Texans beat the Jags in week one, but what is Trevor Lawrence going to be is question number four in the AFC South, and all these questions center around the most important position.
Yeah, I'm least worried about a rookie quarterback in Trevor Lawrence, probably since Andrew Luck. And another factor here is kind of a nobody's talking about that's always been kind of in the back of my mind. He's a rookie in the NFL, but he's pretty much been a pro for the last 3 years.
Nobody's talking about guys.
Not only, calling out Clemson boosters or something?
Well, not only playing at that high of a level of football, but he's also played 14 and 15 games. you know, because they've advanced every year, 13, 14, 15 games. He's accustomed to what he's going to see here. It's just obviously faster, but he's pretty much accustomed to it.
I mean, there's a lot of pressure that comes with being an NFL quarterback. A lot of times on top of the physical development, there's a mental grind that comes into it. I know Peyton Manning has the record for most interceptions by a rookie. But my thing with Trevor Lawrence is Trevor Lawrence was the number one recruit in the nation in high school. Never lost a game in high school, a regular season game in high school. Number one recruit in the nation. Took the torch from Deshaun Watson after Clemson won the national title.
No pressure.
So he had that pressure on him. He wins the national championship at Clemson. You know he's going to be the number one overall pick. Really, they were talking about it the second he steps on the field. He ends up warranting that number one pick, and he goes to Jacksonville. So the pressure is natural, but I just don't know too many guys at this point in their career who've had this much pressure. Obviously, you can go way back, and you can talk about other guys, but like in recent history, even Andrew Luck, he was at Stanford. The expectations at Stanford
right.
weren't that high.
Right.
Trevor Lawrence rose to the occasion when it came to Deshaun. He warranted being the number one recruit in the nation. He was the number one overall pick. We were basically counting down 3 years for it. So if there is pressure, if there is that mental pressure, I just don't see how Trevor Lawrence being in Jacksonville, the pressure, the mental pressure is going to get to him that much.
You can maybe help me with this, but I don't think there's anything more that a college quarterback could have done to prepare to be an NFL quarterback. Played on the biggest stage, under the brightest lights, played a lot of games, handled the pressure of succeeding a legend and became a legend, and played at an extremely high level for a great coach. I mean, what else did he need to do to prepare to be an NFL quarterback?
It'll be interesting. I mean, there'll be some growing pains. I just don't know how sharp those pains are going to be.
Yeah.
Number five.
The mental state of Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz from Philadelphia to Indianapolis. Not on the field yesterday because he got a little bit under the weather. Here is Frank Reich talking about Carson Wentz and how the pressure is not only on Carson Wentz, but it's on his former offensive coordinator, now head coach Frank Reich, because Frank Reich believes in Carson Wentz.
You know, you guys will hear, if you haven't heard, Carson was not here today under the weather, nothing, you know, went on to, it's not COVID related. So it was just a bug or something. So hoping that's a 24-hour thing and he'll be good for tomorrow.
Hey, Frank, I don't know if this is a fair question, but whatever. I think if you don't sign off, maybe Carson isn't here, right? But, you know, given what happened with Carson last year and the struggles that have been much documented, how much of how he performs do you think is a reflection of you? I mean, is there any pressure on you to get him back to being the player you think he can be?
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, I think it's a collaborative effort. And yeah, you stick your neck out for players as a head coach or a GM or a scout or coach. We all do it. Obviously, as a head coach, sometimes you have a little bit more say in it. But I love sticking my neck out for people I believe in. So yeah, I'm willing to put it on the line for players that you believe in. I believe in this team. I believe in Carson. His play will reflect, you know, the work that he does. It'll reflect the work our team does. It'll reflect the work that our staff does, all in preparation. So, but I don't mind being the point person on that.
So question one, Watson settlement. Question two, Watson suspension. Question three, Watson trade. Question four, Trevor Lawrence and Urban Meyer. Question five, Carson Wentz. Is Carson Wentz mentally fried, though? Our guy Kevin Bowen, who joins us during the season from Indianapolis, does as good a job as anyone of reporting on the Indianapolis Colts, actually asked Frank Reich that tough question. And I got to say a couple things about this. First of all, Frank Reich answers questions the way that they're supposed to be answered.
Yes, he does.
Bill O'Brien would have pissed his pants and started crying if he'd been asked this question about one of his quarterbacks. Here's Frank Reich being asked about Carson Wentz's mental state by our guy Kevin Bowen.
The term might be totally off base, but for those that watched Carson last year and thought he looked broken, what's kind of your response to maybe the plan to unbreak him again, for lack of a better term?
Yeah, well, you know me well enough to know that's a good question. It's a fair statement. But yeah, I just cringe when I hear stuff like that. Not that a player shouldn't be accountable for poor play on the field. And, you know, Carson has to answer to that, and he has answered to it. And until you get out there and prove otherwise, that's what you live with. Playing the position of quarterback, there's so many factors that go into it. We've talked a lot about the poor play last year. I'm just very confident that he has a team around him. Sometimes in sports, this is just one of those transitions that was a good, I think is going to end up being good for both organizations. I think it's going to be good for Carson. You know, I think we got to be patient with it. I think it takes a little bit of time, but I'm confident we got the right player.
First of all, great answer by Frank Reich. And he actually answered. That was not an easy question, and it really wasn't set up. It was kind of a set-up question, but at least Kevin Bowen acknowledged. I don't know how else to put it, but people are talking about and writing about him being broken. Your thoughts, Coach? I mean, that was a great response from Frank Reich. You can tell he believes in it, and it just got me to thinking, like, what would Bill O'Brien have done? Asked the exact same question in the exact same circumstance. What do you think?
Coach, you mentioned being better inside the red zone. You ran 9 plays inside the 5, only handed it to a running back one time. Is that about feel? Is that Watson checking on the line? Is that lack of confidence that you can punch it in? What goes into the line of thinking there?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Nope.
That was a wild answer to give somebody, man.
That was crazy. I don't know.
He thought he was showing me up. He really made himself look like a jackass.
Yes, he did.
Like, they were making fun of him on ESPN for that.
Yeah.
I mean, Deshaun had to take a damn bus to the game after that. Like, he was clearly getting roughed up.
Yeah.
It was an easy.
And Bowen says, hey, your quarterback is broken. Thoughts? What would O'Brien have said? Seriously.
I don't think you realize how hard it is to play in the NFL. I don't think you realize it's a hard position to play. It's hard to win in the NFL. It's hard to play quarterback. It's one of the most difficult positions. You guys are unbelievable. You guys don't understand how hard it is to win. We've won 4 division titles in 5 years. I think that's pretty good, right? And you're just sitting there asking a question.
Doesn't matter, Brian.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. A lot of emotions going on with fans. 713-572-4610. We'll talk about the Texans as the veterans get their first David Coley experience. But coming up, a number one overall pick out of South Carolina, who's often scrutinized, has a message for his haters. Spoiler alert. It is not Jadeveon Clowney, because this guy is far from a lover man. Next.
I'm a lover man. Love you guys, man. Y'all have a good day, man. Enjoy yourself.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, Jadeveon Clowney, often scrutinized, number one overall pick. Multiple-time All-Pro, multiple-time Pro Bowler, but he gets criticized a lot. Takes it pretty well, though. He's a lover man, as he says. He's not really going to argue about stuff like that. He gets criticized very often, but remains cool, counts his money, goes out there, still very productive when he's on the field. Going to be in Cleveland this year. Texans going to get a look at him in week 2. Another South Carolinian and a number one overall pick. Is that a bad term?
South Carolinian.
Nah, we're going Linean.
Okay.
Linean.
That's funny right there. Yeah, I laugh at that all the time.
That's a Yankee definition right there.
South Carolinian.
We're going South Carolinian all day. But another guy from South Carolina, number one overall pick, Kwame Brown, scrutinized a lot more than Jadeveon Clowney. Really not as good of a player either. Don't tell him that I said that, because I really don't want him to hurt my feelings. He has the internet going nuts. He's been trending for now 2 days, Kwame Brown. And quite honestly, when I saw that Kwame Brown was trending, I thought he died. Because that's really the only when you see someone like Kwame Brown who hasn't been around a while and you see that, I just wondered, you know, did Kwame die?
Yeah.
He didn't die. He's more alive now than he's ever been.
There might be injuries somewhere along the way.
And he's got a lot to say about Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson of Port Arthur, Texas, who've been criticizing him in the All the Smoke podcast. Now, I knew Kwame Brown was from South Carolina. I had actually heard heard interviews from. I actually talked to him early on in his career. And I don't know if the accent just kind of emerged as he retired and maybe he went back to South Carolina and was around other people with a thicker accent, or maybe he was just shy during his career, because this is one country dude.
He really is.
And he is very, very entertaining. Here is Kwame Brown basically setting up his response to Matt Barnes and Steven Jackson when he saw or heard once again that they were taking shots at him.
I thank you, little girl ass, for the platform. I needed something to talk about. And I hope I offend one of you two or three. And just keep it a man, because all of you know me. This is the second, third time they talking about me on All the Smoke. How the you want All the Smoke and you ain't never invite the you talking about? Seem like you want some of the damn smoke. Change your podcast. This, the new podcast is these want some of the damn smoke. Because I want all the smoke.
Man. He's scary. And you're right. I mean, as a player, he was kind of actually soft-spoken. You know, just kind of like very matter-of-fact, answered the questions, did his stuff. A lot of scrutiny, a lot of pressure. I didn't see this coming at all.
Just a quiet dude. I guess when you're rolling with Michael Jordan and Kobe, you kind of just, and you're the young guy, you kind of just get a little bit shy. And when you struggle as a player, you know, maybe you just – as a human, you naturally don't speak as much, but he's speaking now, mm-hmm. and he has a lot to say about Steven Jackson of Port Arthur, Texas. He's going to start by criticizing Steven Jackson, who often talks about player's heart, for basically taking his ball and going home with the San Antonio Spurs. He literally left the team, left the San Antonio Spurs, Vernon Maxwell style almost, but this is what Kwame Brown had to say to Steven Jackson, who we remember from the Rumble at the Palace. We remember from strip club shootings, Malice at the Palace. Here is Steven Jackson, what Kwame Brown had to say about him.
Fake a calf injury and quit while we fighting for the playoffs. You running around this motherfucker getting your teeth knocked out, ran over, fighting motherfuckers in the stands, being dumb, gang banging, stupid shit. Man, boy, stop. 44, 42. Yeah. They got the mindset of a child. And Steven Jackson, maybe you could put that motherfucking blunt out and pull your pants up on your ass and put that rag down and act like a grown-ass man instead of a little-ass boy.
God, dog. And the thing is, you know, we're playing kind of the highlights here that are edited. He went crazy on these cats.
Here is where it goes to the next level with Matt Barnes, who was part of an NBA love triangle where basically his former teammate took his girl. Mm-hmm. His baby mama, Gloria, who was on Basketball Wives, she ended up having like a fling with Derek Fisher. I think they're actually now married, and Derek Fisher is actually the stepfather of Matt Barnes' kids. Kwame Brown, they might have been talking about basketball, they being Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes. Kwame Brown is taking it to a different level when it comes to what he has to say about Matt Barnes.
The only joke you got, boy, when is this basketball joke gonna run out? You keep hitting me with basketball jokes. I keep hitting you with your real soft-ass, punk-ass life. You wanna sit here and make me look a certain way, boy? Derek Fisher done open your doors to your house. Derek Fisher got your key to your truck. Send some gas money so you can pick them kids up. I got a joke about your life, you punk. I don't got no big podcast. You the dumb that keep responding to a that you bigger than. You stupid mother should be acting like Drake and taking girls. But no, you getting your girl too. You want to smoke weed and play cars all night, punk.
Man, they got personal. It escalated quickly with Kwame.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. It's an emotional time. Sports bring out a lot of emotion. Texans fans, I don't think that it's a cohesive bunch, but there is a lot of passion. Let's go to the phone line, 713-572-4610. Sean from the Northwest, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
I'm glad y'all took time to calm things down, because let me tell you something. Let me up with this Coors Light first. I got a lot to say.
Okay.
Now, let me get right into it. Larry from Stanford, I don't know you from a paint, but I'll tell you this much. If you're so smart, look, first of all, I've been a fan for almost 10 years. I'm a season ticket holder. I sit at the Chairman's Club. It's where I sit at. But more importantly, Larry, I lost my train of thought. No.
Yeah, Sean, if you're going to come, first of all, I'm not trying to open slugs up in Larry's direction. That's not really what we're trying to do. If you want to speak for yourself, you can. Second of all, you're not really sipping if you're waiting for the phone call to open the beer. And if you're going to bring the heat, you got to bring the heat better than that. You got to contribute.
Be ready to go.
I don't want you to talk just to talk. 713-572-461. No, you can't.
Well, maybe not today.
Yeah, you're done. You're done, Sean. You're cut. Save it. 2 to 6, call in, or 6 to 10. You are on a 2-week suspension for that awful display there, Sean. You're on a
2 weeks.
2 week suspension, Sean.
No,
you waste airtime like that. 2 weeks suspension.
And I do appreciate your phone call, and I wish you the best. I hope you have a happy New Year.
You can call back Friday.
No, suspended.
Call back Friday.
Sorry, especially if you're gonna start going.
Figgy, you gotta be the deciding vote here. No. 2 weeks or Friday?
2 weeks suspension. Done.
Go with 2 weeks.
Yeah, there we go. Thank you.
Lee.
Yeah, you're too soft, John. Good
God. They got to bring it, man. They got to bring it. When they call, they got
to. It's not just a take call to take call.
We made
situation.
That very
you're
clear.
You're going to bring that trash coming in here trying to come at Larry. I mean, this ain't a fire up Larry situation. This is a speak for yourself type of situation. And I think Cal McNair is in an interesting spot when it comes to his fan base and his customers. And I wonder what the mindset's going to be. I wonder how full the seats are going to be. A week from now, the Astros are going to be at full capacity, and you're going to have the Texans most likely at full capacity. I wonder what those seats are going to look like when it does begin 3 months from now. Expect Tyrod Taylor to be the first quarterback, but you got to wonder how many fans are going to be there.
You do. I'm just going to be glad that it's full. As far as like the Astros, first of all, I think it's going to be busting at the seams, and it's going to be an incredible environment. It's going to bring back shades of, I guess the last time we saw it was the World Series, too, right? Game, the full stadium?
Yeah, that was it.
That was it. That's pretty incredible. It's going to be great
to see.
Well,
maybe a Rockets game.
No. Astros I'm talking
about. Astros was World Series. Game 7 in town was a Rockets game.
Right.
Early on in the 2019-2020 season.
Right. And as far as the Texans, they're working on full capacity. You've heard, you know, the promos and stuff. I'm wondering if the NFL is going to say if you have a retractable roof, open it. Just for the, if nothing else, optics.
Well, the Texans were doing that last year.
Yes.
And yeah. I thought that they deserved a lot of credit for that, because that was always a controversial thing. We didn't even know if the roof could open. The roof did open. They're opening it a lot more at the juice box as well. The weather up till, I understand closing it in July and stuff, but the weather here, first of all, I think it's an advantage for the Texans to open the roof, especially with teams coming in from the Northeast and all that. They're not used to that kind of humidity. And second of all, just feels a lot better if you're a fan. You go to games not expecting, but a little bit of sweat never hurt a Texan.
No, and look, I know the tickets are more expensive. Sean Pendergast and I were talking about this before the show. Not a whole lot anymore than some big-time colleges out there that play outdoors in August. And as much as Jacksonville practices and trains in warm weather and Carolina practices and trains in warm weather, it's not Houston humidity, and they're not standing in the sun on the visitor's sideline. I think if the NFL does it, it's going to be a big advantage.
713-572-4610 if you want to get in. Landry Locker, John Lopez with you. Right, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Hey, guys, thank you for the time. I appreciate it. Kwame Brown, whenever a man throws a rock at you, i.e. Matt Barnes and Jackson, when you're throwing a rock, your guard is down. You open yourself up for all kinds of body blows and head punches. The reality is Kwame Brown was right on point. I love everything he said, because if you're going to dish it, you need and better be able to take it. These guys in their personal lives have a whole lot more drama and issues than what we ever know about or have known about Kwame Brown on the basketball court. Jackson, the other guy had far better careers. But in terms of attacking a man about whatever it may be, keep in mind that when you throw that rock, your guard is down, you open yourself up. everything Kwame Brown said, I liked, loved, and would have said a whole lot more.
Yeah, I'm always all about the accent, too. The country accent goes to he always gets the edge when it comes to me. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. You better be ready to stay up past your bedtime because an important series begins tonight involving the Houston Astros, plus the potential Deshaun Watson destinations.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Astros versus the A's tonight. Second quarter of the season starting off like the first one. Will it be the exact same story, though? That's TBD. Astros started off the year 4 straight wins over the A's. 3-game set right now. The A's have recovered nicely. Half game up on the Astros in first place. Playing some good baseball. The two teams we expected to be at the top of the division. Right there, 25% through the season. Christian Javier on the bump. There are dates that we look at when it comes to the marathon-like traditional baseball schedule. They are oncoming. I think the Astros, you gotta give them a passing grade for the first quarter of the season, especially with what they had to deal with the COVID hitting, Altuve having to be out of the lineup, among other guys. But this is going to be a tough test for the Astros in the next 3 weeks. Just look at their opponents.
Yeah.
You got 3 with the A's, you got 3 with the Rangers, 2 with the Dodgers, 3 with the Padres, 4 with the Red Sox, then 3 with Toronto, and then 3 with the Red Sox. 4 of the best teams in baseball in the next few weeks. It's not going to break the season, but this is going to be when it comes to avoiding huge skids. This is really the biggest potential long skid that the Astros could go on.
It's too early for a turning point, but it's definitely sort of a flashpoint, a pivoting moment. You can pivot one direction or the other. If they get worked a little bit here, if they start to slump and you don't have 5 guys in essence batting 300 like they do now coming through, and you don't have, you know, Greinke being the Greinke we just saw in his last outing rather than the outings before that. You don't have McCullers' curveball just fooling dudes like crazy, and you start to struggle. It's not the end of the world, but you're going to have to come back from that. You're going to be setting yourself back. There's a pivot. Like they said in Friends, pivot. And so at the same time, you can put a little distance here. You know, you're basically tied with the A's right now, and you are in the thick of things, leading the way right now for the wild card. It's still very, very early. We talk about those posts, you know, that you have to hit 3 times a year to really get a gauge of what kind of team you are and what you need to do. Memorial Day, July 4th, and Labor Day. You can really set yourself apart early on.
Yeah, I think this is really where you separate. I don't see the Astros or A's separating from one another. I think this is kind of going to play out the way that many anticipated it, with these two being the teams that are battling it out in the West.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to separate yourself from teams like Seattle, from the Angels, especially from the Rangers. So when you face the Rangers and you get 3, separate yourself from them as much as possible, because
right.
When you talk about the dark days of August, that baseball fans typically talk about, it's not necessarily, it can happen if teams get extremely hot, but it's not necessarily about separating, you know, and running away with a division. It's about separating yourself, you know, from that third place team, that second place team. Right now, the division races a quarter through the season. The biggest lead of all the divisions right now is the White Sox, and they have a 3.5 game lead on the Indians. The Blue Jays are only trailing the Red Sox by 1.5 games. The Astros are 1/2 back of the A's. And then in the NL, 2 games is the largest separation there. And then you have 1.5 games. So that's where you start to separate yourself. I think in the second quarter, if you can separate yourself from the Rangers to where that's just kind of the rear view, and you also got to take advantage of those games when you do face the Rangers a little later on, that's that. But I think if over the next 3 weeks, if the Astros are playing 500 ball, over the course of that schedule that I just laid out, that murderer's row,
mm-hmm.
I think you got to be pleased with that. And that would be the best way to start the second quarter of the season, the most realistic way. Now, the Astros are capable of completely surpassing those expectations,
sure.
But 500 ball with the 7 with the Red Sox, 3 with the Jays, and then 3 with the Padres, 2 with the Dodgers, 3 with the Rangers, and then 3 more with the A's. 500 baseball, I think, would be success for the Astros.
For sure. But then you look at what the Blue Jays are doing. I mean, even the Indians are in the hunt right there for the wild card as well. I mean, it's early, but it's not too early to start talking about some of these things, especially in the division as you laid out. But beyond that, you're not just playing against the A's and the Mariners anymore. You're playing for that spot because this is such an important season for the Astros. Last year, everybody's like, they're coming back from the scandal. There weren't any fans in the stands.
They got bailed out by the format last year.
There weren't any fans
in the
stands.
They were below 500. They got in the playoffs. They ended up getting to the ALCS, but that was just because of the format.
And it was a shortened season and all that. This is the one that I think they feel matters the most. They're going to see these fans and going to these cities and getting it done like that. That's why I think it's so important for them this year.
And heading into the season, I think one of the things that I was most optimistic about, of course, before spring training was Framber Valdez. Framber Valdez looked like your bulldog last year. You saw him kind of shine in the postseason. He was the one true inning eater that the Astros had that mm-hmm. could, you know, Dusty Baker would give him the ball and Framber is going to be out there in the seventh inning battling for better or worse. He hurts the finger. At one point, you think maybe his season's over, but now he's getting rehab starts. I just don't know what my expectations will be for Framber when he comes back because how is he going to react with that finger? Is it going to bother him? Is it going to linger? I think at one point, I was wondering if Framber Valdez would be the number one or number two pitcher in this rotation.
I don't know
what he's going to be, though, when he comes back. What is Framber going to be? And furthermore, how does that impact the rest of the rotation? I know Adam Spillane has talked about maybe Christian Javier going back in the bullpen. I don't know. Could we see the Astros going six-man? I mean, Odorizzi is going to be back as well. Could we see a six-man rotation with the Astros?
I think it's possible down the stretch. For sure. Keep in mind, the guy that I've just been talking about a lot because I felt so bad for him, Luis Garcia is putting some stuff together now. You know, he's going to be in the mix somewhere as well. Obviously, Grinky McCullers. So you got some guys that are going to be, you know, in the mix, and why not use them, especially if you're going to save some arms here.
I think Garcia will be the guy that goes to the pen.
I think so, too. But
I don't
I'm saying
think
he could
move
be
back
used.
Javier.
No, not Javier, but I'm saying that he could be used in a pinch, those long series. Or later in the year, you're trying to get some rest or something.
Yeah, you already got the long relief from Belak. If you could throw Garcia in there as well, you know, the bullpen gets better. Paredes is back. I think the bullpen is going to shape up into being a strength of this team. I think the bullpen's going to end up being a strength. I know you've had struggles from different guys at certain
Paredes
times.
Paredes is a big, big get.
Huge.
Yeah.
And Abreu has been really good recently, like really, really good recently. Presley's mm-hmm. been good all season long. Yeah. Little frustrating at times with the lefties, but you've seen Brooks Raley have some good outings. I think the bullpen's going to be a strength. It's going to come down to the starting rotation. What are you going to get from these guys? On any given night, we've seen the good of McCullers. We've seen the good of Javier. We've also seen the bad from both of those guys. Grinky, before the last start, there was a career high in the inability to get out of the fifth inning. So you have that. Really, the biggest concern for me with the Astros, and again, this is subjective. I'm not comparing this to other teams because the Astros are set up in most areas better than other teams. But the biggest concern when it comes to a World Series, ALCS-type season like we've seen the last half decade comes down to the starting rotation. I feel great about the bats. I feel good about the bullpen. I think the bullpen's going to shape up. But you need, we consider and say, you know, you have six starters or seven potential starters. You need that top-end guy. The rotation, there's reason for optimism, but when it comes to the expectations that have been laid out and the expectations that have been earned by this squad, this organization, mm-hmm. the rotation is my biggest concern, and I could see it going either way.
And a texter, actually two texters that I've seen already, said, well, what about Verlander late in the year?
No way.
That was talked about.
No way.
Well, I doubt it.
That would be dumb of Verlander, by the way. A guy who his contract is going to expire this year. You have the guaranteed money. You're coming back from Tommy John. You're trying to get another contract to continue pitching. If I'm Verlander, I'm not stepping on the mound this year and trying to rush my return with Tommy John. Maybe he comes back with the Astros next year.
Right.
I think it's possible, but even if I'm Jim Crane and even if I'm James Click, if I want Justin Verlander to be a part of things moving forward, and I know his contract and Greinke's is going to expire, I wouldn't even recommend him pushing himself to come back with Tommy John.
Well, one thing that I was going to add is, why didn't he just go straight and do it last year?
I didn't understand the
timing
of the surgery.
He might have been available this year, late in the year.
Well, Chandler Rome.
For those who don't know or don't remember, it was Chandler Rome who reported the day of, right?
Yes, the first.
The day that he hurt
his arm. The first week of the season.
That he was done for the year and he was going to have surgery.
Okay, who's reporting it?
Chandler Rome. Chandler Rome. That's actually what that's from, if you're wondering. But anyway, that it was going to be Tommy John. And then he said, no, no, no. And then he tweeted some stuff. And they said, well, we're not sure. He's going to try to work through it. And it went on for how long? How long after?
All the way up to the playoffs.
Why didn't he just do it right away?
Well, even then, after that, it seemed like he waited long to have the surgery. I think the answer is because the money's guaranteed.
Yeah.
You're trying to pitch as long as possible. So there's really no rush.
Yeah.
The fact that Justin Verlander, and like you keep seeing it. I mean, the text line's blowing up right now. We got like 30 Verlander texts. He's not coming back. The fact that he pushed that surgery back tells you all you need to know. Justin Verlander's goal right now is to be ready for opening day of the 2022 season. Will that be in an Astros uniform? Who knows? But Justin Verlander's not pitching this year.
But imagine if he'd have just said, you know what, you're right, and just not tried to be, I don't know if stubbornness came into play, or financial, you know, considerations, as you just pointed out, or denial. But when someone tells you, because clearly they told Chandler Rome this.
But why would he have done that? Because you're saying, imagine, why would he do that?
He was trying to. No, I'm saying he was
no,
trying.
No, I'm saying, but what
you still get paid. The contract's guaranteed.
But I'm talking about with the surgery. But he's trying to get a new contract. This contract's done.
Yeah.
This is in the bank account. This is coming in no matter what. That's the beauty of baseball. Justin Verlander, as soon as he needed Tommy John.
What about the team, though, man?
Screw the team. Justin Verlander's proved himself. He's trying to play baseball for a long time. He's trying to get the 300 wins. He's trying to figure it out.
I think he'd be better off getting a better contract had he done it right away. Look, and he's back.
Nobody wants the Astros to win a World Series better than I. But he could also increase the possibility of getting it. Justin Verlander, screw the team at this point.
Yeah.
You're pushing 40. You're trying to get that next deal. There was no possibility of him coming back. Moral support, whatever.
You're talking about this year.
Yes.
That's why I'm saying last year, why didn't he do it right away? And then he could come back at the end of the year, help his contract.
Because he didn't want to come back at the end of the year.
Well, he might help his contract.
Well, it might hurt it. What if he goes out there and he's not the same guy?
Well, there's a lot of what ifs, but he's Justin Verlander.
But what if he comes back, he's not the same guy? What if he comes back and he hurts it? The what ifs are more costly than the come
all
back
I'm saying,
and help
from
the team.
An Astros perspective, you can go what ifs either
from
way.
From an Astros perspective, you want his ass back sooner rather than later, unless you're planning on giving him that next deal and think that he could go back to being what he was before he got hurt.
But what I'm saying is, from a Verlander perspective, it could go either way. What if this? What if that? You know, what if he sits out and he gets the contract because he's recovered? What if he comes back and he pitches pretty dang well? From an Astros perspective, they should have first of all told him, nah, man. You got to get that taken care of. We're going to need you next year.
They ain't telling him nothing.
Well, or recommended. Or if he had just thought in those terms and said, yeah, I got to get this done because I got to be playing for a contract by the end of next year, the Astros would be in such a better place right now. Not that they're in a bad place, but they'd be in such a better place.
This is the spoiler alert that I have for Astros fans.
Mm-hmm.
It makes no sense from a personal standpoint for Justin Verlander to come back. He wants the 300 wins. That's what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's open to coming back with the Astros 2022 and beyond. He's going to be putting out workout videos. Justin Verlander is going to be on the gram. He's going to be throwing the ball. You're going to get excited. You're going to see Justin Verlander throwing off a mound. You're going to hear about Justin Verlander throwing bullpens. He is not coming back this year. If he does, tip of the cap. And that takes some Sam Cassell-like big kahunas to do that. But Justin Verlander ain't coming back this year. There is no reason. But he will be putting out videos on the gram. And the speculation will increase. Dusty Baker will be asked about it. James Click will be asked about it. But he ain't coming back this year.
I 100% agree with you now. No, he's not coming back this year. It doesn't behoove him. I mean, it's financially or otherwise. But had he been able to do it earlier, he would have been in a much better place, maybe even financially. And the Astros would be in an amazing
place. It'll be interesting to see what the market is for a guy pushing 40 that just had Tommy John surgery. Tommy John is a lot like ACLs. I think you can speak to this better, But even like early on in my career, and I mean early on, the torn ACL was like, oh my God, your career's over.
Gale Sayers.
It's done.
Gale Sayers had an ACL. Never played again. Well, the same.
I mean, Lance McCullers had Tommy John a couple years ago, and he's back. A lot of pitchers have come back from Tommy John stronger than ever. It's just a completely different thing now, the Tommy John and the ACL. Tommy John still terrifies me, though. I haven't gotten over the, like, I've trained my mind, and it's easy for me to
when
say.
When they're getting tendons from other parts of your body.
It's easy for some jackass like me to say that dude tore his ACL. That's okay. You'll be back. By the way.
They do the same thing on ACLs.
Joe Burrow's back. But
a cadaver.
I do hear torn ACL, and I almost like have a sigh of relief. Okay, he's going to be back. He's going to be okay. A lot of people have been through it. My mind hasn't quite gotten to the point where I hear Tommy John, and I go, oh, that's fine. He'll be back. Fine.
Shout out to Lance McCullers Jr., man. His surgery came in, and he's doing just fine. But, no, I still have my doubts, too, on Tommy John surgery.
Especially
at that age, yeah.
He's trying to fight Father Time, but, I mean, especially at 40, that's just – it's incredible. I mean, if anyone can do it, Justin can. It'll be interesting because we're kind of learning about the philosophy of different GMs in town. I don't think we know much about Rafael Stone with the Rockets because, you know, he kind of inherited that hardened mess. Yeah. And Daryl Morey basically said, screw you guys, I'm effing out of here.
Yeah.
Kiss my ass, Tillman Fertitta is basically what he said. Nick Caserio, it seems like he likes to churn the bottom of the roster. We really can't judge him that much from a draft perspective because he hasn't had a full draft. We're learning about James Click and the Tampa mentality and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll be interesting to see how they handle a guy like a Justin Verlander and what the market is for him once the season concludes.
I think any general manager is going to be a little bit reluctant. Any general manager in baseball.
What if it's like a two-year, $40 million deal?
20 a year?
I mean, and Greinke's gone and Verlander's gone. You got to pay Correa, I think.
Yeah, well.
I don't know.
I don't think they're going to keep Correa.
Who knows? Maybe you move Bregman to shortstop?
That's possible.
Look what the hell just happened. We're getting excited about the second quarter of the season. Now, all of a sudden, we're already starting the offseason for the Astros.
What we do.
We need to smell the coffee a little bit.
Yeah.
We being me. What the hell is getting into me? Shout out to all the loopholes. If you listen, you are
except
one.
Except for that one guy that you sent away for 2 weeks.
Sean got suspended from the Northwest.
I mean,
sorry,
you can still
listen. Well, you can still listen. You just can't call in. You got to contribute better than that. We need your contributions. Did not bring it. Keep sipping on that cold brew, though. Keep sipping. Tomorrow, Stanford Rout going to join the show at 12:40. We're going to react to the late night Astros game. Get your nap in. Get you an hour, 2 hour nap. Wake up at 8 o'clock. Watch the Astros. A little baseball after dark. Never hurt anybody on AT&T Sportsnet. SportsRadio610.com for the latest John Lopez column. What kind of fan are you? There are five types. Check that out. Always enjoyable when John Lopez puts fingers to keys. Thanks to John McClain for joining us, presented by Horn Solutions. Thanks to you for listening. For the OG John Lopez, for Figgy Fig being the best of the world at what he do, I'm Landry Locker. This has been another edition of In the Loop. We'll talk to you mañana at 10 a.m., but in the meantime, Clint and Ron are next.
Thank you, Figgy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.